On January 18th and 19th, the Knoxville Symphony Orchestra will continue the Moxley Carmichael Masterwork Series in a performance of music by Dvorak, Brahms, Smetana, Adam Schoenberg, and Freddie Mercury. The show will be led by music director of the KSO, Aram Demirjian, featuring flutist Greg Patillo, bassist Peter Seymour, and cellist Eric Stevenson, known together as Project Trio, who've all joined me here in the studio. Thanks so much for coming in to speak with me today, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Great to be here.
Hey, Garrett.
Greg, I want to start with you. So over a decade ago, I was browsing YouTube and came across a video of some guy beatboxing on the flute, and I was, of course, one of about 25 million people to have clicked on that video. I want to know, where did that start? When did you first experiment with playing the flute so unconventionally?
Right from the beginning, I've enjoyed all the strange sounds the flute can make. I started with Suzuki lessons, mm-hmm. and you learn by ear with that method.
Right.
And so exploring by ear, kind of nothing is off limits. And I found beatboxing, messing around with some friends in San Francisco, and it just so happened to work great in the subway system of New York.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I put up a wild video, and it really got that sound out there.
Right, and it sounds like it's worked for you so far.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Now, Eric, in reading your bios, it looks like the cities you have in common are New York and Cleveland. I'm guessing this group was formed in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's right. We actually all met at the Cleveland Institute of Music, which is a classical music conservatory, but we became fast friends with similar interests in music and just hanging out. And while we were very good classical students on our off time, we would hang out and play other styles of music and try to expand the breadth of the instruments that we play. And we had a lot of fun. And a lot of people ask us why it's cello, bass, and flute. And it's really just because we're friends and we liked hanging out and we liked making music together.
What can you say about the group's development over the years? Is this what you envisioned or are you just kind of going with the flow?
No, it's both going with the flow and what we envisioned. We really wanted to play music that was unique to us and that spoke to us on our personal levels. As much as we wanted to get our voice out there, we're happy that it is getting out there and we're able to play it for as many people as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Peter, I'm going to move to you. In addition to being the group's bassist, you serve as the manager and community engagement director. And I understand a big part of the community engagement Project Trio does is centered around music education. What inspired the focus on music education?
You know, music education has always been important to us as a group. You know, we just like to perform. We like to perform as much as possible. We like to perform for as many audiences as possible and wherever we can go. So right from the beginning, you know, we didn't want to just be a group that when we went on the road, we played a concert at 8 o'clock at night or something. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a full day, and so there's audiences out there waiting to hear us. And, you know, what we do is accessible to young people. We are excited about bringing our music and classical music and jazz music and instrumental music out to young people. And so if we don't do it, and if orchestras don't do that, if musicians around the country and world don't do that, we won't have an audience. And so it is important to us to just generate more audience and more interest in the type of music that we like to listen to and make.
Yep. Alongside growing audiences, as you've mentioned, what are some of the other hoped for goals as far as, you know, exposing young people to what Project Trio is doing?
Well, music is amazing. I mean, we were, you know, inspired by music that we heard as young people. Mm-hmm. And so really, we just like to inspire creativity. It doesn't matter if you make music. There's so much that you can learn from music. And I think it's just important for people to see music being played right in front of them. You know, we like to go in there and show them that power of and that energy that that a instrument can make and what people can do if they put their mind to it. We talk a lot about, you know, practicing and how much work goes into playing these instruments. And, you know, we just love spreading the joy.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is joyous to hear for sure. So, Aram, what's your connection to Project Trio? What inspired you to feature them on this Masterworks?
Well, Project Trio was first introduced to me in my first year as associate conductor of the Kansas City Symphony. We were supposed to perform a family concert together, which, funnily enough, had to be postponed because of a snowstorm.
Oh, wow.
The trio couldn't get in. So we postponed it a year later. And I'm so glad that we finally got the chance to work together because I had known about Project Trio just from them being out there. And we have a lot of mutual friends. And, you know, particularly I had seen Greg's YouTube video just like everybody else, and having a background in a cappella singing myself, the beatboxing really just kind of caught my attention and piqued my interest. And we had an awesome time doing that family show in Kansas City. And I also knew that one of our mutual friends, composer Adam Schoenberg, who is a composer I know is familiar to your listeners, was writing a concerto for them, and it was a concerto that was commissioned by one of my mentors, Michael Stern, with the Iris Orchestra, just on the other side of the state.
In my hometown of Memphis.
In Memphis, Tennessee. And so, you know, just I'd always had that in the back of my mind that, you know, if ever I had an opportunity to program Scatter and to, you know, to put these guys on the main stage, everything that Peter and Eric and Greg have talked about already just kind of goes along with what I want to, you know, what I want to see happen with the Knoxville Symphony in terms of reaching new audiences, younger audiences, but also sort of expanding the field of vision of our already enthusiastic and loyal audience. And, you know, what Project Trio does, you know, their music has such a broad base of appeal, whether it's performing a Brahms Hungarian dance in a slightly new style, or, you know, performing a brand new concerto that I think has only been performed four or five times at this point. And the hook in this concert, really, I mean, it's right in the title. We call the concert Bohemian Rhapsodies. It kind of looks at, you know, all of the ways that you can be a bohemian, whether that's being a, you know, a lot of Czech music, or the whole idea of a wandering artist that does things in a lot of unconventional different styles. And then there's also that idea of rhapsody, of a rhapsodic experience. I mean, you know, the definition of rhapsody, an effusively enthusiastic or ecstatic expression of feeling. I mean, my favorite part about working with the trio is the joy that they bring to their performances. They have a magnetic quality on stage that you just can't help but feed off of that enthusiasm and get excited about music, whatever style it is that you're hearing.
Yeah. Eric, I'm going to turn back to you. So in addition to this piece by Adam Schoenberg and music of Johannes Brahms, a really nice arrangement of some of that music, you guys are performing a piece called Raga Raja. I'm curious about a little more information on this piece. It sounds to my ear to be sort of Eastern inspired. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Raja is actually my sister, and she has a really pretty Arabic name, and it's because my family used to live in Northern Africa, and we used to have lots of eclectic world music that would be playing in our house. And one time my mom took Raja and I to see Ravi Shankar, and it was a great Indian music experience. And so when we were writing music, I wanted to just jump on some of this world sounds. And our raga isn't per se a actual raga that's in existence. It's one of our own creation. And it just sort of feeds off of the different elements of a raga that we really like. A lot of rhythm, a drone, bass, and it's just a really fun tune. It does sound Eastern, but it's more North African than Indian, I would say.
I see. Greg, are there different ways that you get the spirit of the music of Brahms versus this piece with ties to North Africa versus more, you know, traditional literature?
Well, I would say we really enjoy casting a wide net and kind of finding a common thread in a wide net of styles. Like, we really try to touch all the bases. And I would say that the common thread is that we're pretty entertaining doing what we do. You know, like, we really have embodied this music. We play everything from memory, and we really leave it all out on the stage. And we definitely don't ignore the audience. They are, you know, we break the fourth wall just in that we let them show joy and we give it back to them.
Yeah. So, Aram, there's also some more traditional music on this otherwise sort of unorthodox program, including Dvorak's Eighth Symphony. Why did you include that symphony on this program?
It's amazing, yeah. And it's awesome, and, and I love it. I love Dvorak, and I think most fans of orchestral music have a special place in their heart for Dvorak. He's a very human, honest composer, I feel like. I feel like there's very little pretension to anything that he does. Earlier on in his career, he really he revered Brahms, and he was mm-hmm. really trying to evoke the model of a Brahmsian symphony. And you know, his Symphony No. 7, which he wrote right before this, very much in that Brahms mold, you know, D minor, very dark. This symphony, he intentionally took a complete turn, wanting to write something that was more true to his cultural heritage, true to the folk music that he grew up hearing around Prague and around the Czech Republic. And it yielded this incredible variety of melodies. This is a melodic symphony. There mm-hmm. are just so many singable, memorable musical ideas, so many to the extent that his contemporaries, including Brahms, said, you can't even really call this a symphony. He said, there are many, many great ideas, but there's no main course. And that's sort of, you know, it is rhapsodic in so many ways. It's like Dvorak took all of his Slavonic dances, threw them all together, and produced a symphony. It's a symphony that's in the spirit of this entire program, which is, it just seems like it is absolutely, you know, threatening to burst at its seams with effusiveness and yep. with vitality and with energy, whether it is in the, you know, the beautifully nostalgic second movement or the very poignant, reflective, waltz-like third movement or the fourth movement, which there's an anecdote attached to the fourth movement. It starts with this big trumpet fanfare. And Czech conductor Rafael Kubelik was once conducting an orchestra, and he stopped the trumpets after they played the fanfare and said, "Gentlemen, in Bohemia, when the trumpets call, it is not off to war, but to the dance." there is such a magnetic spirit about Dvorak's Eighth Symphony, and it's fun and beautiful, and I just can't get enough of it. And I feel like on this smorgasbord of a program, mm-hmm. it's the first thing that we're going to play. Okay. We're starting with the symphony, and it sets the table so well for everything that the trio is going to do on the second half.
That sounds phenomenal. Well, before you leave, Aram, I want to ask you one more question. I've gotten a lot of letters and emails concerning the leafleting that's happening before Masterworks concerts by musicians of the KSO. What message would you like to extend to those curious about this and the future of the Knoxville Symphony?
The future of the Knoxville Symphony is strong. Conversations among the symphony and the musicians regarding their collective bargaining agreement happen every 3 years or so. That's what's happening right now. And, all parties are continuing the conversation and working hard and quickly toward an agreement.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully we all come out on the other end of this doing better than we did before.
Absolutely.
Well, Greg, Peter, Eric, Aram, thank you so much once again for joining me today, and we look forward to this week's performances.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Project Trio will join the Knoxville Symphony Orchestra January 18th and 19th at the Tennessee Theater here in downtown Knoxville at 7:30 p.m. More information on this concert and tickets can be found at knoxvillesymphony.com.